Wooing, thank you. Well, in both senses. Right, okay. I might have to talk very quickly. Can I have a little bit of Sam? A little bit of Sam? Oh, it's going to be wonky. I need to pray. Father, I ask that you'd help me to convey the message that you've given me excellently. May this be our daily bread. Amen. Okay. I had a question pop into my head a couple of months ago, and I've kind of mulled it over, and I found it's actually been really challenging, and I've kind of pondered on it, and I really feel it's something that God wants me to share with you and reflect on a bit together this morning. It also tied in with when Joe and Con's house group did the first half, and they gave us Post-it notes. We had those on our chairs. Yeah, fantastic idea. And the idea was that we were to write on those Post-it notes things that sustained us, like our daily bread. So be that Bible reading or sharing or that kind of thing. Anyway, so these kind of things are filled in together. And this is my huge radical question. Why am I a Christian? bear with me because it seems a bit banal, but actually I think God's got some stuff to say about it. Probably on first glance, it's a bit kind of on a par with, why do you love your husband? Why do you love your job? Why do you love your cat? And your kind of first answer is, well, I just do. And it's sort of defensive, as if slightly confident. Why are you Christian? Well, I just am. but if you kind of probe a bit further, you know, in the kind of why do you love your cat scenario, there'd be some stories and some cute little things and sweet fish. And there'd be some kind of intimate kind of histories and memories that would come to the fore, that would kind of make it really obvious why you particularly love cats. I hate cats. But, you know, trying to build up some empathy there, which I've just ruined. And kind of those set of stories would then sort of confirm for the listener and the person who's been asked the question, oh, yeah, that's why I love, you know, my cat or Battenberg, party rings, Sam. Probably not in that order. it's probably the same in answering this question. Your first response is like, well, I just am. And probably not many of us are asked the question often enough by our friends to have come up with an answer that's very current. And, you know, you might be thinking, okay, Helen, really nice question. How are you going to string out the next few minutes? Well, you've obviously never met me. I could talk a lot. And some of you are just thinking, but I really know why I love Jesus, and I know why I follow him, and I can communicate that really clearly with my friends. Thank God for you, because you're going to help us out in the ministry time. I think it's a question that is worth a little bit of thought, actually, because I think we just can kind of operate on a level of being a Christian and doing the stuff, but maybe not actually engage with the question or engage with Jesus. And certainly, my understanding of part of this passage is that Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up this cross daily and follow me. Is that Jesus wants us to engage daily on just remembering what it is, what are the implications of following Christ. So today seems as good a day as any to do that. I'm actually going to, before I kind of give you any of my insights, which are incredibly profound, I'm going to ask you the question, and there's paper and pens under your chairs, and I'm actually just going to ask you to think about, you know, why are you a Christian? And what I'm going to ask you to do is to write it down on a piece of paper and ask, you know, honestly and before God. It's not a test. And I would really like it if some of you could maybe pop it in a basket, which would be kind of passing. And I would actually like to share some of those. I'm not a handwriting expert. I'm not going to track you down. And find out that you're only a Christian because, you know, nothing better to do on a Sunday morning. But actually, I want you to engage with the question. So I'm going to give you a minute. I just really think it will be inspiring, it will be revealing to find out why we all do this. Because I don't think it's a question we ask of each other. So I'm going to stop talking, have a think about it before God. Why, at the moment, today, am I following you, Jesus? And jot it down. Oh, and if you would describe yourself as a not Christian, and you've got a fairly good idea of what that is, pop that down. Yeah, right on piece of paper. I'm not a Christian because I'd be really interested in those answers too. in a moment, my beautiful assistant will pass around a basket if it's a private thing. But I do think it might be interesting. So if you're feeling brave and you want to put that answer in the basket, then in a few moments I might read some of them out. It would kind of help me a little bit with what I choose to share for the rest of the time. Because if you already know the answers, I'll just shut up and we'll have ministry. Okay, I'm going to define the question, really. I would hope it's quite obvious that I'm not asking why am I a Christian as opposed to a Mormon or Baha'i or a Buddhist. If you want to know that, just Google why am I a Christian, and there'll be some very comprehensive Baha'i, Mormon, whatever, whacking sites, and you can find out all the reasons why you shouldn't be those things. Yeah. It's not what Jesus would have done. And I'm not approaching this in a kind of weary way, why am I a Christian, or kind of self-deprecating, why am I, or even sarcastic. You know, I think hopefully you know me well enough to know that. But perhaps that is for some of you, actually. When you read that question, that's the tone in which you read it. And I'm also not asking, why did I become a Christian? Because that's in the past tense, and I'm actually interested in now. You know, what drew you to Christ may not be the same as what keeps you walking with him now. Especially if, like me, that was 27 years ago. I was six. I've moved on in my walk with God. I've evolved my understanding. I've had more revelation. I've had more experiences with him. So if someone is to say to me, why are you a Christian? Their heart would sink if I said, well, I was raised in a Christian home and we went to a Bible. That's not relevant to people who are my contemporaries. So it's quite important to sort of bring that up to date. I'm really interested in kind of what persuades us, what motivates us after the warm fuzzies of kind of initial conversion with Christ. What keeps us going? That's why I really loved the Toast-it notes. And I just thought it was really helpful. And I also think whatever answer we've just written down on a piece of paper, it will have an impact on our attitude to the way that we serve Jesus and the people around us. Extreme examples coming up, but you know, person A, who's just going through the motions of church, just comes on a Sunday morning because of the ginger cookies and the quality of the tea making, is going to have less of an impact on friends and family than person B, who is miraculously restored to life after a box jellyfish attack, and who really, really, really knows the value of life and really knows their place before God. And so actually the kind of answers that you might be mulling over, it will affect the way that you share your faith with your friends. Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit, and it looks really interesting, and it's just a shame you haven't got time. Would have been a really fantastic German lesson. I've really enjoyed all the talks that we've had recently, obviously up until now, because this is terrifying, but I've really enjoyed hearing people's stories and their testimonies of how they came to know Jesus, what their lives were like before, how they got to the point of conversion, of making that decision to accept Jesus, and kind of what their lives have been like since. And it's a really good thing to have worked out what your testimony is, and to kind of prepared it a little bit, so that when you are asked a question by your friends, you're not kind of scrabbling around. You know, you've got an idea. And actually, if that's something you haven't done, then the UCCF website's got a really good kind of framework to help you to do that. But my point, I guess, today is that your conversion is your beginning point as you walk through Christ. And that's probably where you are now. Why am I a Christian now? Okay, I'm skipping a little bit, you might be able to tell. I have come up with some reasons that some of them are personal and some of them are maybe things that I see around me. And as part of that, I do want to tell my story because that's something I've been asked to do. I love talking about myself. And some of the things are things I've kind of snuck in that are things that have sustained me in this long 27 years of walking with Christ. Oh, beautiful timing. But before I do that, I kind of want to know your answers. And I guess you do too. Oh, my word. The winner is. It's the truth. It's the only way. He's always there. He's a support in good and bad times. He's done amazing things for us. Jesus has been there for me at my lowest. He loved me and showed compassion through other followers. Jesus loves me. Evidence. Jesus has completely changed my life. The peace and joy Jesus has given me. Life now makes sense. I'm going to cry. I love God because he has shown me his unconditional love for me. He regularly shows his love in lots of different ways. What a community we are. Because I know Jesus loves me and he wants the best for me. It's amazing. I believe the Bible to be true. Jesus came to save us from our sins in order to receive eternal life and set principles I believe in. I'm a Christian because I need God to take my life, to take my worries away from me. Amen. Take my life away from me. Because it's the truth. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing those. There are more, obviously, but I'm probably better than what I came up with, actually. Okay, so I'm going to kind of talk about some of my reasons of why I am choosing to follow Christ at the moment. I personally haven't really known very much else. My parents were the first in their respective families to become Christians. And on one side of the family, pretty much all of my relatives are Christians or have made a commitment at some point. And on the other side of my family, they're incredibly gracious and supportive of our weirdness. But it's just not for them. And so my parents did all the groundwork. And I was raised in a very loving Christian home. My parents are fantastic role models to me in the areas of generosity, servanthood, kindness, quirky, full of family sense of humour. They've just been fabulous. And I was taken along to church. My parents, that was their desire for me, really, that I would have a relationship with Jesus. And that's me. I'm the big one. That's my sister Ruth. And I went to a Bible week in Dales as part of the church network that we were part of, Harvest Time, all that time ago. And I was six. And I vividly remember, I'm going to go off into the faraway world now, sitting in a hut. And it was the children's work session and being told the story of the gospel. And I don't know how many times I'd heard that before, probably quite a lot. My parents were quite keen on learning Bible verses and things like that and doing Bible studies at tea time. And, you know, really, really good grounding. But I just remember that it made sense and it impacted me. Jesus loved me. Jesus died for me. And I remember going, obviously I sort of responded in some sort of way, and I remember going out the back of this little hut and sitting on the steps and praying with a grown-up and asking Jesus to come into my life. And I'd been told that, you know, you must go back and tell your parents, this is really significant. So I rushed back to the caravette that we were staying in, and my sister was only 3 months old. Camping with 3 months old, crazy. And it was kind of lunchtime, and I kept sort of saying, Mummy, I've got something to tell you. And my mum was like, okay, dear, just sit down there. And this kind of went on through the whole of the meal time. And then my sister was very little, so my mum was kind of, you know, and in the end, I just said, Mummy, I've got something to tell you, and it's really important. It was kind of, what is it, Helen? I became a Christian today. Much to my mum's shame and embarrassment. But that was, you know, for them, that was what they desired for me. And they fluffed it. So, yeah. But in those brief 6 years until that point, I didn't really know anything else. I had been taken to church. You know, my sort of extended family were Christians. But for some of you, it's the opposite. You have known a lot else. And for you, following Jesus is the only option for you. And you know God in a saviour, kind of a way of a saviour that I just don't. I just hadn't really done that, you know, drugs, drink, detox thing, you know. It's quite sweet. So, you know, for one of my reasons that I know I'm a Christian is because I just haven't known much else. That was my spiritual legacy from my parents. That was the kind of expectation, really. I think for some of us, I think this is a real biggie, and I think God's got some stuff to say about this. Links to a bit of a Mary Martha talk here. It's going to be a one-trick pony. I think there's quite a lot of us who probably are walking with Jesus just because that's what we do. that's what's expected. Perhaps, like me, you've come from a Christian home and that's just what you do and you've fallen into the pattern of it. I don't think we're grumpy about it. I don't think it's wrong. I think we enjoy serving God through the church. We've had real exciting encounters with Jesus. We've seen miracles. We've had God answer our prayers. But right now, just kind of walking with Jesus without a great deal of engagement. We're not backsliding into a fiery pit. You know, things aren't bad. But we're just kind of plodding. And maybe partly because we have a role in our church community that expects that of us. And that's probably what brings us to church some Sunday mornings, because we're doing catering or we're doing kids or... I'm not speaking, I'd be joking if I said that. I think I fall into this, that my natural tendency is to be a doer, and I have to be a bit careful of this, I have to guard against this. I think our expectations, if we're kind of in this group, are God breaking in the meeting, yeah, probably not. And if he did, I'm not sure I'd remember who he is. And we haven't really spent a long time thinking about it, and we probably sort of identify that we're at some kind of plateau. But we're so busy doing church, going to prayer meetings, giving generously, supporting charities, doing the things that Jesus asked us to do, that actually stopping to ask the question, why am I Christian? might be bringing us up a little bit short. And maybe if you're kind of going back through this, you know, maybe the reasons are historical. Maybe they're not hugely current and up to date. And if that's where we're at, don't be glum. I don't think this is bad. I just think it can be a lot better. And I think today is a good day as any just to say, why am I Christian? What's persuading me now? What gets me out of bed in the morning and think, oh, this is how I'm going to behave? And seek God about it. Ask the Holy Spirit for inspiration. I got a couple of verses that... I'm doing a bit of a pick and mix of Bible verses, really, that have... sustained me kind of through my life, my walk with God. This is one I use quite a lot from Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. Sometimes I'm just so weary of doing good. But then there's the promise, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I think if you are kind of feeling this kind of plateau glumness, I find this really encouraging from Ecclesiastes 3:19. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is a gift from God. And I think actually, not to settle for that, but to use that as a starting point for being thankful. Because I find that when I'm sort of feeling a bit morose, a bit kind of, I'm not really sure I'm doing this, I'm just going through the motions, that what breaks the cycle for me is an attitude of gratefulness, an attitude of gratitude and thanks. So to just stop and think, do you know what, God? You've given me something to eat, you've given me something to drink, and actually I do get satisfaction from the things that I do, is a brilliant starting point for just adopting an attitude of praise and thankfulness. So I found that really helpful. And also, a bit of homework. Love it. Psalm 18 is the most amazing passage. It is a passage of David's thankfulness for deliverance from all sorts of snares and coils of death and entangling, all that sort of thing. It's quite long, and it's absolutely amazing. And every time I read it, I find something new about God's character, not just about David's plights. And there is a verse 25 that says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure. And again, I just think these are sort of starting points of things. You know, why am I a Christian? Well, okay, it's all about God's character, and that's kind of where I need to get back to. Excuse me. Moving on a bit. When I was 11, we went to another Bible week, and the leadership there had a vision for church planting. And surprisingly, my parents felt that that was what we were going to do as a family. And we all prayed about it together, and we decided that's what we were going to do. So we moved from Lincolnshire, which nobody ever knows where it is, so it's fine, to Worcester in the West Midlands, which is north of here. And we set up a church, and we went to kind of build a church. And because I had been quite churched by then, I used jargon like that, so all my new friends at school thought my dad was a builder. The church grew to be about 30 adults and a similar number of children, but no one was of my age. And the next youngest was 8, whole 3 years younger, and the next eldest was 28. So I spent most of my teenage years really quite lonely in the faith. There wasn't a culturally relevant youth group until I found my school friend when I was about 16 invited me to the Baptist church, which was just an absolute lifeline. And the only option for me in that church at that time was just to behave like the adults I saw around me. They were my role models. So I served in the kids' work. I did the OHP. That's how long ago it was. And I kind of just took on responsibility because that's what I saw modelled. I didn't have the option of piggybacking on my trendy youth workers, you know, faith. It was my own. There was no one to steer me through. No one to have a rebellion with. Also not a lot to rebel against because my parents are brilliant. And I didn't really look for meaning from anything else. There was no reason to have a rebellion because actually God was so real to me. So my kind of understanding of sense of duty can be sort of turned around, that actually I had a duty to make myself kind of fit into my church environment, and I just got stuck in, and actually through that sense of duty and through that service to the church and to Jesus, it carried me through my teenage years remarkably unscathed. And now it's my job to serve you and serve God, and it's a pleasure. I'm not Christian, it works. That's what some of you have said. I'm not going to talk very long because I haven't got much time. But I just know in my knower that it works. You know, I've seen answers to prayer. I've seen miracles. I've heard from God. I've had God speak directly, giving me words of direction into my life. And I just know that it works. So, yeah. Because he first loved me. As I said, we did a lot of Bible verses in my family, and this was the first one that I ever learnt, John 3:16. That's what drew me to Jesus, and just because it was 27 years ago doesn't mean it's any less true. And that's what, you know, that's why, although actually I forgot to take communion, but that's why I love to take communion. Because I need to be brought back to that place. I need to remember what drew me to Christ. Largely, I think, at the moment, it's because of my community. You! The Church of England website says that Christianity is all about relationships and community. I think that's pretty cool. I think that pretty much sums it up for me. Having sort of come from that environment of being a very isolated teenager, the first time I came into Southampton CU, there were at that time about 400 students worshipping passionately. And I literally thought it was a taste of heaven. I had never seen so many people of my own age engaging with Christ. I think people really thought I was a non-Christian. They're like, oh, gosh, I've got a visitor. Because I couldn't engage. I was just so overwhelmed, and I was a bit cross, actually. Where have they all been for the last 9 years, Lord? But anyway. Yes, grace. But I'd spent my teenage years, we were in a pioneering church. We were in the gathering phase. And we did some of those horrible things that Simon was talking about. I did door knocking, inviting people to Christmas services and things. We did street theatre. I was very into mime for a while. I don't know how it furthered the kingdom, but it was kept me quiet. We did hops. We did street theatre. We did worship on the streets on Saturday mornings. Really great when you're 13, you know. I don't think I was an age-appropriate Christian. You know, I was just doing the things that the people around me were doing, and they were all church-planting adults. And we, as kids, just that's what we did, and we all just kind of got involved in it. I was a bit intense. Yeah, thanks, Sam, just for confirming that. I was a bit earnest in my faith and a bit literal. I didn't swear, and out of respect, neither did my friends. I tithed my pocket money. I wouldn't go to a 15-rated film until I was 15, which, bearing in mind my birthday's in the end of the academic year, I missed out. You know, I was quite sort of clear about what was right and what was wrong. But actually, although this was probably a little bit, sounds really dull, I did have huge amounts of fun and frivolity. But it did steer me a very safe course through my teenage years. So I kind of really know the value of community on my walk with Jesus. And, you know, I did it pretty much, you know, on my own through my teenage years, and also on my gap year at university, or I did languages and I spent a year in Germany, plunged into a foreign culture. All those things about supermarkets brought it back to me, yes. Not really knowing what to do or what was happening. And I went into a very small corner of eastern Germany about 6 years after the fall of the wall because I wanted to write a dissertation on communism. And the role of the churches, they had none. But I went to a place where there wasn't any sort of organised Christianity, because that's what I loved it. It was brilliant, but I was very, very lonely. And I would literally just spend hours reading my Bible. It was fantastic. Me and God had a great year, and I really grew. But, I know I can do without community, but I know I do a lot better with it. And the kind of fun that we have, and the encouragement, accountability, and food rotors. All those things, it really bolsters my faith, and I really value you. There's a verse in Philippians 1:3, I thank God every time I remember you, and I do, because I know what it's like, quite well, 20 minutes, not to have you. Okay, I'm just going to have to whiz through, which is just a bit of a shame, really. Some of you had alluded to this, that in Jesus I have a hope and a future, and I think that's it's a great motivation for staying a Christian, knowing that actually there are some verses that have really encouraged me. My middle name is Esther, and that's kind of a verse that people have gifted me. Matt, bizarrely, when I'd only been in the church a little while, sort of just found me out and from front of the meeting and said, significance of Esther. It's like, oh, it's my middle name. And then told me this verse. I haven't come to royal position, but just the idea of there's some kind of destiny, Esther 4:14, and just the idea of Proverbs, of just trusting in God, of knowing in my knower that he is faithful. So those times when I feel like I don't want to be a Christian, I just know that God's got it sorted. He's got a better way. And this is the sort of Jeremiah 29:11 is the verse that gets written on your Bible at a youth conference. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about what you eat or drink. You know, these are the kind of verses that have sustained me. Because if I weren't a Christian already, I'd probably have the trappings and behaviours of being one. Very dangerous thought. I didn't say all these were good. This is my sinful nature, which I need to be reminded of sometimes. I have had thoughts in the past, you know, that probably because of my upbringing, my personality, my natural temperament, that if I hadn't have become a Christian when I was 6, I probably wouldn't look too much different today. Forgetting that because Christ has been working in me for 27 years, okay, he has steered me through and has brought me to the point that I am. It's a very arrogant thought, but I'm being honest, this is sometimes how I feel. Maybe, why am I a Christian? Don't know, don't think I'd be much different if I weren't. I always felt my story was never a great salvation story. I kind of actually envied people who'd had miraculous detox overnight or been saved by angels from a burning bridge. It's a much better story to tell than I was raised in a Christian home. Now I realise that I'm blessed indeed, and that my amazing testimony is that from the age of 6, God intervened in my life to save me from having to be put through those things. And that actually, at the tender age of 33, you know, 27 years I've walked with Christ, it's amazing. I should be really old. And I think he's making some progress in me, I'd like to think. And that my arrogance in thinking that sometimes just brings me back to how God really feels about my sin. And I just have to think about Duncan's poo-covered Daisy story, Daisy being his daughter. Just to remind myself, you know, why am I Christian? Because if I weren't, that's what I would look like to everyone else. But Christ cleanses me. that makes me presentable before God. You're never going to know what I'm going to say about Scripture, except you should read it. I haven't got time. And I don't want to be glib about these things, but revelation, truth, beauty, tradition, love, nature, these things keep me close to God. You know, if I'm feeling a bit distant, then I sort of tend to do a bit of gardening. Think about the enormous variety of green. Why didn't God just make one green? He made loads, you know. And think about growing things and germinating and growth. And God speaks to me a lot. And I wonder about the point of slugs as well. Or I go and do something creative. Or I talk about I go and do some baking. I make some stuff. And I just put myself in that position of enjoying God's creativity. And also snowflakes. I just find that God is such an extravagant God. And we sang the song earlier, try not to sing it, about storehouses laden with snow. And I just think, you know, there are just, that's a lot of unique snowflakes. One of the reasons I'm a Christian is because of snowflakes. Because God has created these amazing structures that we don't see, we don't appreciate. They are literally wasted on us. And I think about God's extravagance to me. And actually, probably that's one of the reasons is probably that affects me quite a bit about why I'm a Christian. Now, if one of my friends says to me tomorrow, Helen, why are you a Christian? I will not just give them my PowerPoint. I will probably say something about relationships and community. I think for me, that's probably where I'm at. But I found this whole process very encouraging, very uplifting. And I would really, really challenge you to do this. Go and think about it. Why am I a Christian? What scriptures have kept me close to God? What are the reasons? And it's helped me to realise actually my faith is probably more vibrant, it's probably moving forward more than I realised. So where I might have thought I was plateauing a bit, actually, I realised all the groundwork's there. I just needed a bit of lift. I just needed the Holy Spirit to inspire me. So I'm sorry, I've had to rattle through that and would like to have not had to rattle through it. It's hoping for an amazing time of ministry. We need to go and get the children. But I really felt that God wanted to release people who were feeling glum. Never used that word so much in my life. And also people that were feeling dutiful about their faith. Why am I Christian? Oh, it's because I have to get up and do coffee on Sunday morning. You know, I felt those were the two particular strands that God really wanted to bless you in. And so I know it's going to be busy and I know it's going to be hectic because we've got to get the kids and bless the kids workers. But if you feel like that, then I would really like you to respond to God either today or house group leaders, maybe make some time in house group this week to bless people. I'm going to have to close the meeting there and we will see you next week. Thank you for your patience and the rattling. And I'll just pray to close. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for scripture. I thank you for revelation. And I pray that those people who you would like to do business with this morning, you will carry that on through the week. And that, Holy Spirit, you will prompt us to look out for each other and to pray for each other and remember each other. Amen.